Welcome, guys, to another episode of Facility and Property Management Secrets Radio. I'm your host, Javier Lozano Jr. with CMI Mechanical. We are a national HVAC and refrigeration company. We basically handle all of your national needs for refrigeration, for heating and cooling, whether it's in a multi-site retail store, restaurants, C-stores, convenience stores, gas stations, that sort of stuff. We do it all for you guys. We go coast to coast. And so we're happy to help you guys out in any of those pinches that you're currently in. If you guys are watching this, this is obviously not recorded live, but I'll be publishing this here shortly, also through our podcast as well as in video. And so ultimately what I'm trying to do is I wanted to create a training video here that would give you kind of like a playbook on how to best leverage this opportunity that we're currently going through. And as some of you guys are like, well, this is not an opportunity. We're in a recession. Businesses are closing. Multi-site retail stores are closed. States are in lockdown. I mean, it's everything that you can humanly imagine that is possibly going wrong. And you're right. It's everything you can humanly imagine is possibly going wrong. But it's still an opportunity. See, what's going on is I really believe that we are now in a state of embracing this whole remote atmosphere of working remotely. As you can tell, I'm working in my office. My kids are home. They did a little homeschooling and I've been trying to be as productive as possible. My wife's taking care of the kids and she should be also working as she's a real estate agent, but she can't. But my point where I'm coming from here is that this still is an opportunity because we've had this technology available, the internet. We've had all these tools available to our disposal. And most of us are kind of running rampant wondering, what are we going to do? How do we do this? And it's unfortunate that what's going on is that it's making us have to shift. And if you're going to be one of those people that's going to be sitting back in the fetal position, wondering what to do, how do you get through this? How do we get business? No one wants to do business with me and all this other stuff. Then maybe, you know what? It's you're gonna struggle. Okay. I'm not gonna say that I want you guys to fail, because I don't, because I believe that, you know, when the tide rises, all boats rise to the top as well, too. And this is why I'm doing this. So I know that we try to publish content on the Facility and Property Management Secrets Radio that benefits both the facility managers, the property managers, as well as the vendors. But I want to make this particular episode really dedicated towards us suppliers and vendors. Okay. And the reason is that a lot of people are struggling and we are too. Okay. CMI Mechanical is essentially, I'm not saying we're struggling, but there's a lot of businesses closed, so we can't go service them right now. It's kind of hard. We're going to get through this though. Okay. It's all about how you're positive. But I will tell you this is that this is the chance of taking all those excuses that we all make. And we basically start saying, you know what? I'm going to start getting into it. I'm going to start taking action. I'm going to start creating my marketing and sales plan. And that's what I'm going to do. I want to help you, give you a playbook, if you will, on how to create your sales and marketing plan in this new normal. Okay. This is still an opportunity to grow your business. Now, you may not be getting revenue now, but you're going to be creating an online presence that should be stronger than ever before. Okay. And you're wondering, well, who what makes you think you can do this? Like you've never done this before. You might be questioning those things, and you have every right to question that as well too. But let me tell you something, guys, just a quick backstory about myself so you understand exactly where I'm coming from. Okay. I basically have run a very successful company for over 10 years. I sold it in 2018 for a good payout. Okay. I'm not going to go into details. And so when I opened it, I signed the lease in March of 2008. I then opened the doors of our facility, which was a personal training and martial arts studio, in August of 2008. And then, as most of you guys recall, September is when the full recession took place. Okay. And I couldn't have prepared for that. I didn't have anything to prepare me for that. So I had, you know, it signed a 5-year lease on this new location with a personal guarantee. Okay. And I would have owed over $300,000 before the age of 30. All right. I was 27 years old. And so I basically had two options. I could either curl up into the fetal position, say I'm going to fail because there's nobody out there. There's, I could literally have said, everyone's homes are getting closed or I want to say bankrupt, but that's not the word I'm trying to use. I can't think of the right word. Sorry, but everyone's homes are getting foreclosed. That's the word. Okay, people are losing their jobs. The market is crashing. I was in a main anchored store shopping center, and businesses there were shutting down. I could have literally just been one of the other people in the statistics. Okay, but I didn't. I got really good at sales and marketing. More specifically, I got very, very diligent on my digital approach and then creating systems that allowed me to close at a higher rate than most people have ever seen in their own professional life. And I was able to sell millions of dollars doing that same process. And I'm doing it today for CMI Mechanical, that same strategy that took me through a recession and sell my business. I'm doing it for the commercial side, for B2B. Yes, the sales process is different. Yes, my target audience is different. Yes, you know, there's some things that are, you know, a little bit different approach, but the foundation of what I'm going to teach you guys today is different. The foundation, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't mean it's different. The foundation I'm going to be teaching you guys today is the same thing that I've used in the past. The foundation will get you through practically any type of recession. Okay. Now you've got to run a tight ship. All right. You've got to run a tight ship. And I did that for 10 plus years. And I really believe this is that I thrive because my back was against the wall. I had no choice. And most of us, our back is against the wall and we have no choice. So this is why I'm doing this. I want to help you guys. I want to create a strategy for our suppliers and vendors that are out there that are willing to embrace this technology that we have right now. Okay. Mind you, in 2008, I didn't have all of this stuff disposed to me. We didn't have any kind of Facebook Live or Facebook Live or LinkedIn Live. YouTube was getting big, but it wasn't what it is today. Okay. The biggest type of marketing was search engine optimization. We couldn't run paid ads on social media. Okay. You could do Google ads and they were cheap at the time. All right. But you had SEO strategies, you had blogging strategies, and you had other concepts, but that was pretty much it. And then we were kind of like juggling that with your normal print marketing type strategies back then in 2008. That's what we had to our disposal. Do you see what I'm saying? And so today though, we have so much more available to us. We can do these live. I can record this live on LinkedIn. I can do this live on Facebook. I can create my own audience. I can create my own brand. And that's what I'm trying to get to is that we need to start seeing our business as a media business versus a supplier. And you're like, but I'm not in the media business. I sell janitorial services. I sell commercial goods. I sell, you know, things for facility managers. You're right. You do sell those things. But to get in front of these people, you must be leveraging media, online media, digital media. Okay? And that is everything that we see from social platforms to search engine optimization, to improving your website's functionality, to creating sales funnels, to using and leveraging email campaigns, to using text messaging. And I'm gonna get pushback on this too, because you're like, well, that's just not professional. You know what? You know what wasn't professional? Was sending marketing information and marketing via email 20 to 25 years ago. That was not professional. And then somehow us marketers destroyed the platform to where now only 10 to 20% of the people are opening emails. Because back in the mid to late 90s, open rates for email were like 95%. You got mail. Okay. It was wrong to market on email. That was unprofessional. You don't do that. And then all of a sudden now it's like, it's a common thing. It's going to happen again, guys. It's going to happen with text messaging. It's going to happen with messaging platforms. LinkedIn is already doing it with their InMail. You can actually do sponsored ads through InMail. You can do that all through Facebook Messenger. There are a lot of outlets to actually take advantage of this. So what I'm trying to get to is we have to be open to every opportunity and leverage them. Okay. So I'm going to give you guys a quick playbook of what I've kind of created. I didn't write all the stuff down in the details, so I'm going to just be regurgitating the stuff I have here. And honestly, it might be in your best interest to take notes or save this video and just start listening to it over and over again, or listen to this podcast over and over again. But this will be a long podcast. This probably will be close to an hour, if not longer. Okay. And you feel like that's just too much information, pause it. Get back to it. And if you're wondering, how do I do all this stuff? Google it. Okay. I'm not trying to be rude by saying this, but that's how I got better at this. I started figuring it out by Googling it. Okay. So I'm going to give you the playbook, but I'm going to make sure you guys understand something, that I'm going to give you as much information that I know and how to do it. And if there's things I don't know, guess what I do? I Google it. I look it up. I look up on YouTube. I do everything possible to figure it out. I don't make the excuse of that I don't have the resources to figure this out. Okay, so understand that this is an opportunity to get in front of your audience, your avatar, and your ideal customer. Use it because you have a lot of free time now. Okay, I did that today. I spent literally 6 hours essentially having already blog posts that have already been written and then putting them onto our website, putting images on there, putting anchor links into the blog posts. And it's all going through the end of May. I'm not kidding you, all right? Today is March 27th. I've got all of April and all of May, all content produced, ready to go. 9 weeks of content. Every single week on Monday around 6 a.m., a new blog post will be dropping on our website. I spent 6 hours doing that, okay? My brain is fried because I had to, you know, I didn't write the content. I paid someone to do this. But my point is that I plan for all this stuff, okay? So understand that opportunity is there to win and take business, okay? So what can you do on the marketing side? Number one is, I think what you can do is you should be reevaluating your website, okay? So you need to be looking at your website and make improvements on it. And this is what I'm trying to say. Some people say, well, I don't get a lot of business through my website. Well, yeah, because your website's crap. Okay. It doesn't look good. It's confusing. It doesn't have a call to action. It doesn't have any kind of lead magnet. You're asking for much too much information, such as name, phone number, email, company, where you live, what's your mom's best friend, you know, all this other stuff that makes no sense. You're asking for all this information. You have no blogs on there. You have no content on there. You have nothing value to deliver. And yet you're upset that you're not getting any leads from it. That's like me putting an ad in the Yellow Pages and being mad that I'm not getting any business from it. It's junk. And so what we need to do is we need to reevaluate our website. There's things that we have to actually have on our website. And we're learning this from the business to consumer type market because, let's face it, guys, those same people that are buying from consumers that are buying from businesses, those are the same people that are buying business to business. Those are the same decision makers. Those are the same human beings. And so what we need to understand is that you need to look at your website differently. Your website is not an informational site to share information. Your website is designed to make you money. If your website's not making you money, then you need to reevaluate your site. If your website's not getting you the right type of leads, then your website's confusing. If your website is not getting you high quality converting leads, then you don't have a proper funnel going on. And you're probably wondering, what in the world are you talking about, Javier? You need to fix your website. That's what I did exactly when I came in to see my mechanicals. I fixed our website. I'm not a web designer. I just know how things should look like. I understand what websites should be designed as, okay? So I made things very prominent. And if you want to take a look at our website, by all means, take a look at it. mech.com. CMIMEC.com. Okay, take a look at it. we're actually looking at revamping the site because we're getting so much traffic from it, and we're looking to, you know, increase the conversions as well too. Anyways, what I'm specifically saying is you need to have a call to action on your website. A call to action is literally something strong. Like our call to action on our website is schedule a strategy call. That's it. That's the strong call to action. You're like, well, does it make me any money? Well, it will if you actually schedule a strategy call. And then what happens is they click on that link, a window pops up, and it's a video of me, all right? And it basically tells them, you know, why they should schedule a strategy call with myself. I go over some pain points really quick that we can solve. And then they just put in their name, their phone number, and their email address. That is it. And you're like, well, I need more information. That is why you need to talk to them on the phone. You don't need more information of that on the website. The more information that you're trying to capture from your leads or your prospects, if you will, that are on your website, like the more, like if you go beyond three questions, you start losing conversions at a higher percentage. If you ask a fourth or a fifth or a sixth question, the conversion of getting a lead starts going out the door. Like it does not happen because people don't want to have to spend time filling out a form. Okay. So that's one thing, is have a strong call to action and make it very prominent, and it should be everywhere. If you want them to schedule a strategy call, make that everywhere on the website, everywhere, on every blog post, on every page, so they can schedule a strategy call. Okay. The next thing is that you should also have a lead magnet. And this is something that we've already created, but I'm trying to massage on how to figure out how I want to put it on our site. I've been playing with it and it works fine. It converts well, but we need to figure out what I want to do correctly. But my point being is a lead magnet is a widget that you give out for free. It's like, here are five ways to basically improve your commercial HVAC functionality or something like that. Or six cleaning supplies that will kill coronavirus. You can't make that claim probably, but you get what I'm saying. It's like this little PDF document, okay? And all you ask in return for this document is simply an email. You're like, well, Javier, I need more information. No, you don't. You have not earned that. Okay? You haven't earned that. You earn that through what you do on the back end. Okay? So that's what I'm trying to get to there is that creating a lead magnet allows you to capture someone's information as far as an email address. So what you're doing is like, hey, I'd love to have your email address. I'll give you this PDF document in exchange for your email. And then some people are like, that's a fair exchange. I'll give you my email. And then they'll put in their email address. And if you're like, well, sometimes they don't give you the real email, who cares? Because there might be something that you have in the back end that you should have created already. So anyways, I'll get to that in just a second. So you need a lead magnet. So, and you need to have one. You know, you don't need multiple. You need one lead magnet. That is it. It needs to be high converting. Okay, so the goal is that if they don't schedule a strategy call, which is the call to action, that's a strong call to action, then you give them an alternative. Hey, if you don't want to talk to us, download this thing. This helps you figure out ABC. Okay, and then they get that. That lead magnet is going to allow you to start creating a relationship with that person outside of the internet world, and you do it inside through email. And you're thinking, well, am I going to send emails to these people individually? No, I don't. And I'll go over that in just a bit. The next thing is that your website needs to do, this is what we call, and I got this, I didn't coin this. I got this from this guy named Donald Miller. Your website needs to go through what's called the grunt test, okay? Donald Miller essentially created this company called StoryBrand, and he talks about this thing called the grunt test. And he says that your website has to basically tell the visitor exactly what you do, what problems you solve, and how to get in touch with you within 5 seconds or less. So literally open your website, look at it, and then close it within 5 seconds, and then you should be able to know exactly what it does. You should do it to random people. And the reason I say that is that don't do it to your employees in at work, because they already know what you do. They're gonna answer your questions the way you want them done to. Do it to your wife. It doesn't look at your website, doesn't even care about that stuff. Do it to your spouse, to your husband, whatever. Where I'm coming from is that that's what you want to do. okay? That's what you're trying to do, is create a site that quickly someone can look at it and know exactly what you do and what problems you solve and how to get in touch with you. If you provide that solution, you will increase your conversions tremendously. Okay? I'm dead serious when I say this. Your website is not an information site. Your website should be generating you money. Okay? And if you're like, well, our sales process is long, Javier, no kidding, so is mine. You think people are just buying HVAC units left and right and buying services left and right from us, from our website? No. I still have to work those leads. I still have to create a relationship. I still have to get in front of these people. I still have to email them content. I still have to schedule appointments and call them again because they don't call me back. I still have to do all those things. But you know what I did that you didn't have to do? Or, I'm sorry. You know what I did that you won't do? Is I created the website to where it's easy to get in touch with us, get a lead immediately, and then they're pretty much already kind of qualified because they want to do business with us. They just need more information. This has been successful for us because we've taken literally the largest brewing, one of the largest brewing companies in the world, as a lead from our site. This has worked for us for one of the largest mobile providers in the world, okay? We've done this for one of the largest defense contractors in the world. All leads come through our website. All right. I didn't have to fight for these things. And it's because I created a very clear call to action, that, you know, it worked. So once you're evaluating your website, and if you're thinking, Javier, I don't have time to do all this stuff, then hire a web designer. Okay. You need to invest in a web designer. That is the best money that you can spend marketing wise. Okay, I'm dead serious. I don't design websites, but I know how things should look like. So for the things we hire a web designer through our company for CMI Mechanical, I do manage the site overall. I used to, you know, do a little bit of web design for my old company that I ran. And then I got to a point where I'm like, this is ridiculous. I have more time. I don't have the time to do this. My time is better spent closing deals and creating marketing campaigns. So that's what I did. So I paid someone, think $3,000 a year roughly to manage my website. And if you're saying that's a lot of money, are you kidding me? That's nothing. That's a drop in a bucket. Okay. Some of you guys that are suppliers and vendors, you're probably making millions of dollars gross revenue. My company was making $300,000 a year gross revenue. And I was spending roughly $3,000 a year just to have a website managed. So take that into perspective. Okay. So with that said, that's the number one thing I would say is take a look at your website. Understand that. All right. Look at other people's websites as well too. Not people in your industry. Get out of your industry. This is the best thing that you could possibly do, is get out of your industry. Look at other people's websites from different industries in B2B as well as B2C. And if anything, I would really go towards more B2C because those sites, not all, are really designed to be dubbed down. All right. Last thing I want to say about your website, the content on your site should be written in a third to fifth grade level. And you're saying, that's not possible, Javier. I guarantee you the CEO typically is not looking through your website and looking to buy something. Okay. It's going to be somebody else that's going to be a little bit lower below them. It's going to be an assistant. It's going to be someone else that is not like the key decision maker, because they might be said, hey, I need you to find me five vendors that do X, Y, and Z. Okay, cool. And they're going to start doing Google searches and all this other stuff and looking. And like, here are the five vendors I think we should look at. And then they present it to, you know, their superior, which is probably going to be a C-suite person or some sort of director or executive. You get what I'm trying to say? So those guys don't typically actually have the time to do the research. So you have to write the content on your site at a level that is easy to understand. So don't use big business jargon. Get very specific on what you're trying to say. You know, our websites, I don't even have it in front of me, but it tells exactly who we're serving. We serve facility managers, property managers, and building owners there's three things. All right. And I say, like, and I basically call them out immediately. Like, these are the things we can do. Let's schedule a strategy call. That's it. Nothing sexy. Okay. And it's done very well for us so far. Okay. So I'm going to move on from websites. I'm going to go into SEO, search engine optimization. Now, I'm not going to go into detail. I'm not an SEO expert, but I would probably say that I'm pretty flipping close. And the reason I say this is because I've been doing SEO since the mid-2000s when it was big. And if you're like, what is SEO? Search engine optimization, okay? And that's also been kind of like, not correlated, but SEO and SEM, which is search engine marketing, they've been kind of looked at as almost the same thing, okay? Especially in today's day and age. So this is everything that has to do with your website and how to increase your search. Okay, this is really imperative because this is how you start getting really good qualified leads coming through your website. Okay, and this is how you show up in the search engines at the top. So I've implemented strategies at our company that allows our site to show up at the top for a lot of certain keywords because I found out that there's a lot of them that are just not strong. So we started dominating them. Okay, and we're doing very, very well in that strategy. So you're like, well, how do you do that, Javier? The first thing that you have to do, the number one thing is creating content, creating blog posts. Now, creating blog posts is easy. And I'm going to give you kind of like a, I don't want to call it a hack. It's not like I'm ripping stuff off from people, but I want to give you a strategy that I use on creating content for SEO for blogs. Okay. So essentially, before I get into that, let me explain why this is important, this whole search engine optimization. More and more people in our industry are finding our services through Google searches, okay? They're looking for our searches or looking for our business through Google searches. They'll type in certain things until they find what they want. Google is still the number one search platform in the world, okay? The number two is YouTube, okay? So those are the number one and number two search engines, and they're both owned by the same company, which is Google. So number one search engine, Google. Number two search engine, YouTube, owned by the same company. So what does that tell you? That tells you that you have to do everything you can to get your business to show up. So that means that you're gonna have to figure out exactly what your business focuses on, what keywords people are using to find your business, okay? And then you start educating yourself from there and you start writing blog content about that. And so these blogs should be roughly 500 words or more, okay? About a certain topic, very specific, and you break it up to where it's easy to read. Do not write like you were taught back in college and high school, where you had these long paragraphs and you know certain subsets. No, do not write that way. Literally write where people can read quickly and break things up fast, because the way we're absorbing content is different than what we used to do 10 years ago. Okay, so when you write content, you should have like, you know, what we call is like an H2 header. Okay, it's like a subheading from like the normal heading, right? And they should be telling you what that section is so that people can glaze through it and be like, oh, this is a cool section, let me read this. And then they can read it really fast. There should be bullet points in there. There should be like numbers in there, like stuff like that. Where I'm coming from is that you need to make this content really easy to read, okay? And then the other part is the blogs. They should be written in a format that is like third to fifth grade level. They should not be written with big, large words. And if you're saying, Javier, like our company just, that's what we do. Like guys, we're in the commercial HVAC world where we're using mechanical and variable refrigeration flow. And we're using all these large words, but we still have to write in a third to fifth grade level so that people understand what we're talking about. Because what I've realized is a lot of facility managers, this is not a knock on facility managers, a lot of facility managers aren't as well versed and educated on HVAC and refrigeration. They know a little bit, but not a whole bunch. So why am I going to try to make myself sound smarter than them? I should just basically write stuff so they can just get it and be like, well, these guys know what to do. I'll just call them. And that's exactly who we're talking to, because we're educated. We understand. So that's something else I suggest, is that when you write your blog post, you do that. So now if you're saying, Javier, I don't have time to write blogs. Okay, cool. Hire someone. Okay. I'm pretty sure someone in your company has some downtime, pay them to write blog posts. Or if they're paid, you know, in a salary, that's part of their job. You get to produce only one blog post a week. You know, the last solution is you can hire freelancers. And that's what we do at CMI Mechanical. Okay. We do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? And I'm not giving out all my strategies, because there's a lot behind how I do it. But we essentially hire freelance writers, and they do research on content that we want them to write about. And then what we do is then we give them kind of an outline of like, hey, I want this topic. I want you to use this specific keyword throughout the article, and I want you to use these like subtopics, like hit these three things or hit these four things, and you just fill in the body, and then we pay them. And so this allows me to create content on a regular basis to where we're publishing stuff once a week on our website, automatically, once a week. It's clockwork, okay? And since I started working at CMI Mechanical just over a year ago, we've probably published probably well over 50 types of pieces of content. And that's allowed us to start increasing our ranks on the search engines. Do you see what I'm trying to get to now? Search engine optimization is critical, guys. It is huge. It is really important that you understand that that's how you get your site in front of your perfect ideal customer. And the more content you produce, the more authority you develop, okay? That is the key here. Don't just put out junk, because people will start realizing that. And Google is starting to measure this as well too, that time spent on your website, if people are going to your site like, this is junk, this site's ugly, I don't understand this, and they start bouncing, that's a rate that Google tracks, they start bouncing and leaving, you get penalized. So then your site gets start pushed down. And then somebody else's site that's producing content, people are staying there longer, starts getting pushed up higher. You see what's going on now? Now, the idea here is that you're publishing content on a regular basis. Hence why I have 9 weeks of content that's already been published, and it's gonna come out on a schedule by itself, automated. All right, so yeah, I spent 6 hours doing all this stuff, but then I don't have to do this every week anymore. For at least until, you know, June 1st. And then I'll probably forget for another 2 weeks. And then I'll be like, oh crap, I got to get this done. And then I'll get it going again. But I'm being honest. I'm being transparent here. But that's going to help you guys with your search engine optimization is that. The other part that you can also do is you can do guest blogging. Okay. A guest blog is where you actually write a blog for someone else at a different website. And you have links pointing back to your website. This is huge. And if you can do it for high authority websites, not just junk websites, and you're like, well, what are high authority websites? Sites that people actually think is important, okay? Great example, Connects FM, which is Connects Facility Management, or which was also known as Prism back then, okay? They have a blogging platform that allows vendors to write blogs. And then we can put links going back to our website. That's good. And many of us should be leveraging that opportunity. Okay, because that's going to allow you get link backs to your site. When you have link backs going to your site from high authority sites, what Google says is that, oh, this is cool. You basically are writing, you're considered a high authority as well too, because they're linking back to your site. So then you get a little of their juice, if you will. That's part of search engine optimization. And there's more to it. That's just two simple strategies. There's a lot more to it. Okay, and I'm not going to go into detail about it because I can literally go hours and hours upon that. But we talked about website and we talked about search engine optimization, more specifically creating blog content. Okay, that's what you should be doing on those ends. All right, the next thing you should be looking at is running paid ads. And if you're saying, well, we're cash strapped right now, you totally are. And so are we. We're not cash strapped. But like what I'm saying is that we're not spending a lot of money right now. Like we've cut back. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just the nature of what it is. A lot of companies are doing that. So with that said, what that means is that your paid ads, you can run these on Google Ads, okay? And you can, you know, go that route. And if you're wondering, well, I don't know how to run Google Ads, there's a lot of free resources out there. One of them will be YouTube. Just start Googling stuff on how to run Google Ads. Another one, you can actually buy training as through a company called Udemy. U-D-E-M-Y. Udemy.com or Udemy. I say Udemy, I think, but anyways, Google them, go to their site, and they have training that people create their own training videos and they sell them at like a fraction of the cost. Now, some of them are junk and some of them are really good. And so that will teach you on how to run paid ads. What in the marketing world, we call them pay-per-click ads. Okay, so those are the ads that are at the top, like, you know, first, second, third, usually maybe fourth, depending on keywords. And then you have all the organic stuff. So we do some paid ads, and I've done a lot of extensive research to figure out what keywords are doing very well for us. And then so I allow us to get up to there until we have a certain budget. So you might just say, we're only going to spend $500 a month on paid ads, on Google Ads. That's fine. It's better than nothing. And then you're going to be testing. Mind you, you're not going to get a return on your investment anytime soon, because if you've never run paid ads, then how the hell do you expect to get a return on your investment? Okay. Some people always say this, like, well, if I'm going to spend money on this, I want my money back. If you went to college, did you ask for your money back like the day after, like you went to your first day of class? Like, I want part of my investment back now. No, you had to go out and actually apply this stuff. So where I'm coming from here, guys, is that you've got to understand that, you know, all this stuff takes time to implement. Okay. This like thing looks all crooked and stuff. Oh, whatever. All right. So, you know, run paid ads, and every strategy is going to be different. There's so many ways of doing it. There's a lot of content out there, but that's a great way of doing it. Again, I'm not going to go into detail about that. So you get three things now. Website, implement it better, you know, change some things, use the grunt test, okay? Have a call to action, have a lead magnet, all right? Search engine optimization, SEO, so start working on blog content, start producing information that's valuable of at least 500 words. If you can get to a point where you can make, you know, blog contents that are 2,000 words, that is amazing, and Google will love you even more. I've done that a lot for us, all right? And then paid ads, what we call pay-per-click ads, which is PPC. Okay. Those are great ways of like doing like Google ads, as well as like social media ads as well too. But we'll just focus on Google for right now. So those are three things that you can work on. The next thing is that you want to start putting what's called web analytics on your website. Okay. Web analytics allows you to see how traffic is coming to your site and how long they're spending time there, what pages they visit the most, what pages are people spending the most time? Where do they leave? What's the highest exit rate? All that stuff. It gives you all this information. You're like, oh, that's really cool. This has been available for like 15 years. Okay, maybe even longer. Google has a free platform to do this. Use their Google Analytics. Okay, just Google that. Literally put Google Analytics. Okay, and you can get you'll get a free code that you have to put onto. It's basically a JavaScript code that you put onto your website. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you have a web person in your business, have them do this, okay? And then so you put that script onto your website, and it takes about a day until it starts like start pulling data, and then all of a sudden you can see how much traffic you get daily to your site, how many hits you get, you know, per month, per week, all that stuff, how much time they spend on there. You get all this information that people didn't know. This is how you monetize your website. And this is what we've been doing at CMI Mechanical as well too, is we've been using this strategy. It's really cool actually. And so that's what we do. We implement that, and then we make decisions based on analytics, on data, versus, well, my intuition says this. Intuition is great. You know, it's always good to feel good, but data is just more powerful. Okay. So that is really huge. And I would really recommend doing that. So you know how I told you guys that the number two search engine is YouTube? You should be producing YouTube content, okay? YouTube videos. You should be doing this. You should have your own YouTube channel, okay? So we have one. It's CMI Mechanical, all right? And we have our own YouTube channel there. And you're like, do you have like HVAC stuff in there? No, we have basically our podcast that we film live. And then we load those onto YouTube, and then we have a lot of content on there, and we have some other stuff in there as well too. But we don't have a huge following on there because I have not put a lot of information on there. But here's the thing: people are starting to get there, and I'm not gonna lie, it is challenging to grow your YouTube presence. It is very hard, but you can do it though. It's not impossible. I would recommend leveraging that, and then what you do is in the comment section, not the comment section, but in the description section. You describe the actual title of the YouTube video very specific to what you're trying to talk about, so it captures someone's attention. So you have to spend some time figuring out what kind of title you want to use, and then you have a description right below that. This is where you have a lot of information using certain keywords, because this is how it's going to show up in the search engines, okay? And then you're going to have information about your company as well too, and links going back to your company. That's how you get link backs from YouTube. All right. Now, those aren't considered like what we call is like a follow link, because YouTube doesn't, I think, allow that. But it's still good because some people will read the description, they'll watch the video, and then if they click on the link, they go to your website. That's free traffic. You'd have to pay for that. Okay. So that's something that you want to consider doing, is you want to start leveraging YouTube as a source of getting you traffic there and putting content on there. All right. Doing videos is it's very time consuming. I am not gonna lie. I don't enjoy doing it. It's one of those things that I wish we had someone else doing it, but I have to do it because I know it helps. Okay. So when you're doing these YouTube videos, it can be on any topic, but you have to have a, you should have a good personality. You should be someone that you can talk to. Okay. If you're like, well, I'm not really that good in front of camera, find somebody else, give them topics to talk about, and then do that. Okay. I don't know what to tell you guys, but if you're boring, it may not be the best outlet for you. Okay. So just kind of keep that in mind. If you hear my kids in the background, it's because, hey, we're all quarantined. Okay. So